From WUOT News, this is The Method, a series exploring the intersection of science and society. I'm Brandon Hollingsworth. In a moment, we'll go down to a nuclear plant in Ray County, where one man is paid to figure out how to destroy the reactors, but then keep it from happening. But first, automakers decided to meet fuel economy standards by making new gasoline direct-injected engines. But scientists at Oak Ridge National Laboratory have discovered those engines may actually be bigger polluters than the current ones, generating as much as 10 times more particulate matter, or soot. WUOT's Chrissy Kuiper sat down with project leader John Story to talk about his research.
For the past 20 years or so, I've been looking at exhaust emissions from both diesel and gasoline engines and vehicles. We analyze things that may not typically be regulated, so those are air toxics that are present in the exhaust, but there isn't a specific regulation for them. Particulates are formed in engines typically when there is not enough air to burn all of the fuel. And so in a diesel engine, that happens when you inject the fuel and there's a flame that spreads out from the point of injection, and there's a zone in that flame that produces soot. And so much of the work over the past 30 years has been to minimize that zone and improve that mixing so that there's less particulate form. In the case of gasoline, you're injecting the gasoline while the piston is pretty far down in the cylinder so that there's a chance for the gasoline to mix well with the air. What happens in that case is that you can get little pockets of fuel in the cylinder, maybe sticking to the wall or to the top of the piston, and you get an uncontrolled kind of burn with not enough oxygen around, and that causes this soot formation. And so to mitigate that, what people are doing, what engineers are doing now is being much more careful with the fuel injection and spreading it out over a couple of injections sometimes, and that seems to really help. We also look at characterizing particulate matter, the smoke that you see sometimes coming out of the exhaust, and a lot of it you can't see because it's so small. So as engines have gotten cleaner and cleaner, the size of the particles coming out of the exhaust have gotten smaller, but that doesn't necessarily mean they're any less harmful.
Is there a movement to regulate those, or just is there more of a movement to come up with just clean burning engines?
Yeah, catalyst technology over the past 30 years has improved tremendously. So virtually all of the harmful pollutants come out just in the very first 10 to 20 seconds from when you start your car, when everything's cold. And once the catalyst warms up, which takes anywhere from 20 to 50 seconds, pretty much everything is destroyed. And so all you're left with is carbon dioxide and water coming out of the exhaust. So the good news is that the cars are much, much cleaner. And so that's one reason why some of these air toxins haven't been regulated, is because there's just nothing there to measure.
Is your work trying to eventually improve the fuel economy and the particulate filtration?
Particulate removal, okay. Yeah, and or mitigation. So there's a couple of ways you can do that. One is to improve the way you inject fuel and reduce the amount the engine makes, reduce the amount of particulate. And that's been going on ever since about 2007, when they realized that this new type of engine was making a lot more particulate. So the good news is that they're getting cleaner. The ultimate solution, of course, is to use a particle filter on the exhaust, but that typically has negative effects on fuel economy. It will reduce the fuel economy. And so automakers are trying to avoid that if possible.
The headlines that came out of Japan in March of 2011 were unforgettable.
Japan suffered its largest earthquake on historical record today.
This Fukushima prefecture, as we've been telling you, has been hit by tsunami waves.
It is very difficult to confirm information in a situation like this.
One of the most disturbing news reports we've had is of a nuclear power plant in northern Japan where the cooling system has failed.
The scene was the Fukushima Daiichi nuclear plant, about 150 miles northeast of Tokyo. 3.5 years ago, a tsunami triggered by a massive earthquake swamped the plant, damaging its safety systems and sending half of the plant's 6 nuclear reactors into meltdown. With each passing day, the Tennessee Valley Authority gets closer to activating its Unit 2 reactor at the Watts Bar nuclear plant outside Spring City. That is where this guy steps in.
My name is Bob Williams, and I'm the Fukushima Project Manager here at Watts Bar.
Bob Williams' job is to make sure that what happened at Fukushima doesn't happen in Ray County.
Guidance that came out with Fukushima required us to evaluate all of the potential external events that could happen to the plant.
Now, this is a good time for me to mention the geology of Japan and the geology of East Tennessee are vastly different. The faults that break the surface here are cold and dead, last active about 200 million years ago. But deep down in the crust, in what geologists call the basement complex, there are active faults, and the U.S. Geological Survey says those faults do pose a threat. Bob Williams says the postmortem at Fukushima revealed the partial meltdown wasn't caused by the earthquake itself. The issues there, he says, were all about water. When the plant's emergency generators were swamped by a tsunami, there was no way to pump cooling water through the plant's hot reactors.
So what we have done is added additional protected diesel generators, fuel supplies, and diesel-driven pumps that we can actually get cooling water into the plants, and we can sustain them for an extended period of time.
Now, while an earthquake or a tsunami is, to say the least, highly unlikely at Watts Bar, the 2 nuclear reactors there are designed to take East Tennessee's more common natural disasters. Floods, tornadoes, ice storms, power failures, even terrorism are on Williams' radar. He says one of the biggest problems at Fukushima in 2011 wasn't a failure of equipment. It was a failure of imagination.
Probably the biggest thing we learned is that no matter how carefully we planned or how we looked at different events that are common to our region, that we probably did not plan for everything.
There are tons of other safety measures designed to help keep Watts Bar running in the event of a catastrophe. Specialized equipment is kept in a concrete building on site and above flood levels. There's heavy machinery to move debris after a tornado or a windstorm. And there are backups for the backups. All of the preparations that have been undertaken at Watts Bar serve as a model for other nuclear plants that are under construction around the country. TVA estimates the Watts Bar Unit 2 reactor will be ready to start generating power next spring. But even then, Bob Williams won't be resting easy, because he'll still be thinking of ways to predict the unpredictable. That's The Method. You can listen to all of our previous editions online at WUOT.org. I'm Brandon Hollingsworth.